but it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. Well, I tell you what, we've had a wonderful service up to this point. I tell you, I've enjoyed it very much. But I want to, my subject is found there in verse 8 this evening. I am Alpha and Omega. I want to talk about the Alpha and the Omega, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now there are three tenses in which we see the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Three tenses. Well, we behold His glory as the only begotten Son of God. We behold it. And then 2 Corinthians 3, it says this, that we have an open face without anything over our face. Moses had a veil over his face. We don't have veil over our face. Don't even have veil over our hearts. And we with open face, we behold the glory of the Lord. And as we behold Him, we're changed from that image into His image. So that's a progressive change in us. And then our Lord Jesus said, Father, I will that they whom Thou hast given me be with me, that they may behold my glory. We have seen it, we do see it, and we shall yet see it. But let me read some scripture here to you. Let's start here in verse 7. And behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierced Him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who am also your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the Isle of Patmos. The isle is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. And I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, and as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And when he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his street. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he raised his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. What a description of our Lord Jesus Christ. I talked about the three tenses in which we see the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we want. We want, you know, our first and foremost motive in preaching is for the glory of God, the glory of His blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our primary purpose. I want to see people converted, but if nobody's ever saved, we're going to still preach to glorify God, glorify His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to see His glory whenever we look into His Word. Now we saw the work of Christ last week and the results of it. He said in verse 5, And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Now listen to this now. This is the word. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. That's his blessed work. And we're the results of that work. Unto him that loved us. It's one thing to love you, but then to turn around and wash us. And then not only wash us, but wash us from our sins. And then turn around and make us kings and priests unto his Father. We're the results of the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want to start here in verse 7, go down through these verses and say a few things about this. First of all, we see the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Said in verse 7, "Behold, he cometh with clouds." He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. It says this talking about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I told you that this, we have the coming of Christ, Christ here, and then what happens to us here, and he comes again. Well, he came the first time, washed us from our sins, and then he's coming again. He's coming again. And when we talk about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, that's the blessed hope of believers. Oh, what a blessed hope we have in the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Whether he comes after us individually or whether he comes after us collectively, as long as he comes. And behold, he cometh. He's coming. I tell you, our Lord Jesus Christ is coming. And I tell you, and it says here, not only is he coming, but he's coming with clouds. He's coming with clouds. You remember, while you turn with me over to, I think it's Mark. Mark chapter 14. You remember when our Lord Jesus Christ ascended back to glory in the book of Acts. And all those disciples, they were standing there watching him go up. And they was watching him go up, and he went up and ascended into the clouds. And there's two white men in white apparel stood beside him and said, "You men of Israel, why stand ye gazing up into the heavens? This same Jesus who went away shall come in the like manner." He went away in the clouds, he's coming back in the clouds. He's coming back in the clouds. And that's, you know, Daniel saw this very thing. He saw him, the Ancient of Days, and one approaching him, described exactly like the Lord Jesus Christ here is, and God was given unto him dominion over all the earth forever and ever and ever. Now look what he said here in Mark chapter 14 and verse 61. Well, the high priest had been asking him and talking. They were judging him. And they asked him, "What is the witness? These witnesses, they're against you." But he held his peace and answered nothing. And again, the high priest asked him, saying, "Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" And here we go again with one of them I ams. Jesus said, "I am." "And you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power," and listen to this, "and coming in the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest rent his clothes and saith unto them, "What need we any further witnesses?" He told him, says, "You're going to see me again. And I tell you, you're going to see me sitting right up yonder, and you're going to see me coming. You're going to see me coming." Now he's telling them high priests right there, "You'll see me coming. You'll see me coming." And what a blessing. He's going to come in power. He's going to come in glory. He's going to come in such majesty. And look what it says here now. Not only that, but said, "Every eye shall see him." Every eye shall see him. Now how in the world does he mean to people that's on the earth that every eye shall see him when he's on the earth? No. Because it said, "They also that pierced him shall see him." So our Lord Jesus Christ, this is one of those mysteries. The scriptures tells us that Christ, whenever he comes, everybody on this earth, when he comes, they're all going to be given bodies again. And when he comes and he comes to judge, every eye is going to see him. Every soul that's ever lived on this earth that had eyeballs to see, they're going to see. And this is not going to be a spiritual sight. This is going to be a physical sight. And even that man, that soldier that took that spear and pierced the side of Christ, and blood and water came out of it, and our Lord said here, he gonna see me. He gonna look at me. And he gonna wish he'd never had a spear in his hand. And I tell you, they gonna see him. And it not only to us, it's a blessed hope. To us, we're looking for him. To us, it's life. To us, it's a hope. To us, it's encouraging. It's comforting to know that our Lord Jesus Christ, he said, comfort one another with these words. When the Lord shall descend with a cloud in power and in majesty, and the dead in Christ shall rise forth first, and then those which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet him in the air. But here it also says, when they see him, even they which pierced him, and listen to this, and all kindreds of the earth, not going to be a day of rejoicing for them, not going to be a day of comfort for them. What does it say? They shall wail because of him. That day for them is going to be a day of wrath, a day of anguish, a day of judgment. And oh, listen, the scripture said, who shall be able to abide the day of his fierce anger? And I tell you this, I saw a sign yesterday. I hadn't seen one of these in years. It said, a little old sign for a Baptist church says, independent, premillennial, and fundamental. I haven't seen one of them in a long time. And Shirley asked me what that premillennial meant. And I said, I'll tell you what premillennialism means. It means that these people believe that Christ is going to come back and secretly take all his people out. And there'll be car wrecks all over the place because he's going to get his people out. And then Christ is going to come back. And everybody else got to stay on this earth, and then they're going to have to go into 7 years tribulation. Then Christ is going to come and sit on the throne in Jerusalem and reestablish the kingdom of David. And he's going to sit over there, and they're going to go back to offering the sacrifices again. Do you imagine that the King of Glory, that's already put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, the last sacrifice, the only sacrifice that ever put away sin, the only one, not one bull, not one goat, not one sheep, put away sin. The only blood that washed from sin was the blood of Christ. And to think that he would get off his throne and come sit on an earthly throne and let them bring blood offerings to him again, you've got to be the highest fool that ever was born to believe such a thing. And I preached that one time one of them places and I got excluded. Throwed me and Mary and both our kids out. And then you know what they done? They sent me a letter sort of recommending me go to another church. But I told them, I said, listen, he's not a coming king. And he's going to reign more than 1,000 years. He was reigning before we got here. He was reigning before God said, let there be light. He will be reigning when there's time no more. And he's the light of that city. He's always reigned and he always will. Huh? Oh my, that's what he's talking about here. Every eye's going to see him. Oh my, even those who pierced him. He said, oh listen, they asked him, where are those wounds that you got in your hands? He said, they are the wounds that I received in the house of my friends. And oh my, even those that pierced him. And you remember when Thomas said, I'm not going to believe. Thomas, we've seen the Lord. We've seen the Lord. Well, I ain't going to believe it. I'm not going to believe it until I see myself and I can stick my finger in his hand and put my... I was there when they stuck that spear in his side and I can stick my hand in that hole in his side. He no sooner... The Lord said, here, Thomas, go ahead. Thomas said, well, wait a minute, Lord. We got to wait till 1,000 years. No, no. He fell on his face before God and said, "My Lord and my God." And that's what we do. We see, oh, He's my Lord and He's my God. And we bow to Him. Oh my. And you know, and when it says they're well because of Him, that means a morning of hopelessness. It's not a morning of repentance. And we'll get to it later. They said, they'll say, "Oh, mountains and hills and rocks, fall on us to hide us from the face of the Lamb." Hide from the face of a Lamb? They will. And then look what He said. "Even so, let it be." Amen. Amen. And then look what our Lord calls Himself. Look what our Master calls Himself. Our Lord calls Himself. "I am Alpha and I am Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty." Now, I don't know a lot about Greeks, but I do know this, that Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet. Omega is the last letter. And he starts in the beginning and He's the ending of it and everything in between. Amen. And that's what He says about Himself. And you notice how, again, here we go with "I am, I am, I am, I am." I tell you, He's the complete, the perfect, the eternal revelation of God Almighty. He said here that He is, was, which is to come, and look what else He says about Himself. The Almighty. Now, if He's Almighty, you reckon anybody else has got any might? People won't talk about their might and the power of their free will. And He said, "He's Almighty." That means that there's nobody else got any might. There can only be one who's got all the power. There can be only one who's Almighty. And I'll tell you something, when you see that He is the Almighty, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, you know what you find out? You ain't got no strength whatsoever. People say all the time, said, "Boy, you know, you got a lot of strength in your character and all this." Well, I tell you what, I ain't got none in mine. Christ is all I want, Christ all I need. And I tell you what, I wouldn't mount to a spit on the ground without Christ. I tell you, I ain't. And I tell you what, and what He's doing is He's telling John, He says, you know, said, "I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the ending. He which was, is, and which is to come." He's telling John, said, "You got enemies." But He said, I'm Almighty, and there's not an enemy in this world can hurt you. Not an enemy in this world can hurt you, can destroy you. And then look what John says now. John's commission, Christ gave him commission to write. "And I, John," look how he describes himself. John's talking now. "Who am also your brother." Oh my. We're brothers. Brothers in Christ. He's one of my brothers in Christ. I'll know Him when I get to glory. You know that? We'll recognize these people. "John, who am also your brother." Oh my. And then he says, "I'm your companion." Oh, we're companions. We're compatriots. We're companions. Well, what are we companions in? Tribulation. It's through much tribulation that we must enter into the kingdom of God. And I tell you, in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. Oh my. Look what he says. We're on common ground here with John. He's our brother, he's our companion, and he has tribulation. And he said, it's through this tribulation and patience of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. And oh, how we need patience. Oh, how we need the patience of Christ and the patience of our Lord Jesus Christ. And look what he says. "And I'm in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ was in the isle that is called Patmos." He's saying, why is he in tribulation? Why is he suffering? Why is he exiled here? Why is he in this isle of Patmos? Look what he said. "For the word of God because I believe the Word of God, preached the Word of God, talked about the Word of God. And listen to this, and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I testified of Jesus Christ. That's what I did. For the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. You keep this and look with me in Galatians chapter 6. Look in Galatians chapter 6. Now I tell you what. John said here, you know, I'm suffering. I'm in tribulation. I'm exiled. I'm on an isle over here, little old Isle of Patmos. And why are you exiled for, John? Why are you tribulation? For the Word of God. And for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Well, look what he said here in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 12. This is the difference between somebody like John and these fellas here. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they have a desire to make themselves look good in the flesh. When you find somebody wanting to make themselves look good in the flesh, you found somebody don't know nothing about Christ. And that's what he goes on to say. They want to make a fair show in the flesh, want to show what they can accomplish and what they can do. They constrain you to be circumcised, whether it's baptism or any other thing. And here's the reason they do that, because they don't want to suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. They don't want to do that. And here's why. He said, for neither they themselves who are circumcised are those who keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised, to have you keep the law. And here's the reason, that they may glory in your flesh. Now let's put that in today's vernacular. You would not believe how many souls I won to Jesus. A fellow told me one time, said a maid would come in the room and I'd have her accepting Jesus before she got, when she was cleaning out the bathtub. I'd stay in there and have her saved before she got out of there. Now that's what they do. They suffer persecution for the cross of Christ, and then look what on it. And they want to glory, and that's what they'll say. Boy, look at all my souls. Look at all that I've accomplished. Look at everything we've done. And they'll brag about themselves. But Paul says, but God forbid that I should glory. I can't glory in my flesh. Can't glory in my accomplishments. Can't glory in my souls that I've won. There's only one thing I want to glory in. That's the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. That testimony of Christ. And listen to what he said here. By whom the world is crucified unto me. The world don't want nothing to do with me. And I don't want nothing to do unto the world. That's what he's talking about here. That's why John said, that's why I'm your companion in tribulation. He suffered for the cause of Christ. And then he goes on back over here again in our text tonight. Look what he said. And then he says there in verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. And I tell you, the Lord's day is the first day of the week. That's why it's called the Lord's day. Not called the Sabbath. The Lord's day is the first day of the week when Christ rose from the dead. The resurrection of Christ. But from right on here, he says he was in the Spirit. That means that earth and time and space has no influence on him whatsoever. None. He's in the Spirit. Like Paul said, whether I was in the body or out of the body, I can't tell. I was called up to the third heaven. That's what he is. He's in the Spirit. He sees, but he don't see with physical eyes. He hears, but he don't hear with his physical ears. He's in spiritual contact with the Lord Jesus Christ. He sees Christ here, and he sees him by the Spirit. And he knows what Isaiah said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. Daniel was in a vision. Peter fell into a trance, and God let that sheet down three times. And they all had these visions as in the Spirit, and they, time and sense and space ceased to exist for them. Earth ceased to exist for them. And then he said, oh, listen, I heard something. I heard behind me, back behind me, I heard a great voice. Not just a voice, a great voice Boy, if you hear his voice, it's great to hear it, I tell you that. And that voice was as a trumpet. It was as a trumpet. You know, when Moses went up on the mountain, God blew a trumpet. He blew a trumpet. The day that the law was given, a trumpet began to blow. And Moses got up there on that mountain, and that trumpet blew and blew and blew till Moses stood in the presence of God. Then the trumpet stopped. And so God used a trumpet. You remember that Joshua had the children of Israel go around Jericho 7 times. God could have made Jericho fall down and not told them to do anything. Just broke down the walls and let them take it. But he said, I want everybody to know that how I do things. He made them walk around it 7 times. Get up tomorrow, another time. 7 days they done it. He said, on the 7th day, blow a trumpet. They blew them trumpets and down come the walls. He said, cry aloud, O son of man, and spare not. Lift up thy voice as a trumpet. As a trumpet. And he heard this trumpet, great voice as a trumpet. And then he says, oh my, what, down there in verse 11, saying, I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what you see in a book, you write it down and you send it to the 7 churches. Now look at this vision that he saw of Christ while he was in the Spirit on this day. Now he said, you know, this was behind me. He said, this was behind me, this voice. And he said, I turned around to see. I turned to see the voice that spake with me. Spake with me. And being turned, you know what I saw? First thing I saw, 7 golden candlesticks. 7 golden candlesticks. Oh my. And then he said, what did I see in them, those 7, when I saw those 7 golden candlesticks? He turned to see the voice. See who it is that's speaking to him. You can't see a voice, but you can see the person who speaks the voice. Well, he did, but he didn't see anything till all he saw was 7 golden candlesticks. And then he said, oh my, I got to looking. And in the midst of those 7 golden candlesticks, 1 like unto the Son of Man. Well, what did he look like? Well, I'll tell you what he looked like. I'll describe him to you. Have you ever read Song of Solomon, chapter 5, where it describes Christ, what he looked like, his eyes and his hair and his golden legs and oh, how his skin like, you know, ruddy, and his eyes look like dust just set in milk and all, just describing what John has described, the sight here to behold. And what a wonderful, wonderful sight it was to John. Here's the very one that the scriptures always said, that disciple whom Jesus loved, that's who he's talking about here. He was the one that laid his head on the breast of the Lord Jesus Christ. But this is not the Christ that he laid his head on. This is altogether different. It looks different. Look what he says. And he had clothes on. Oh, how clothed. We talked about that high priest and how beautiful his garments were and how they were made. He said, and I turned and saw the Son of Man clothed with a dark garment down to the foot. Oh, such a glorious, royal robe. Went all the way down to his feet. And then you know what else I saw? I saw that he had a golden belt wrapped around him to hold that robe. Solid gold belt all the way around him. Huh? It's gold. And then he said, you know, I looked at his hair. I looked at his head, and his hair was white, just like wool. And then to make it even more distinct, he said, as white as snow. You know, when you see sun on snow, it'll blind you. And he said, his hair was white as snow. Sun glistening on the snow. And then look what it said about his eyes. And his eyes were flashing fire. Flashing fire. Uh-huh. Eyes that can see into every heart. Eyes that can pierce a heart. Eyes that can burn a heart. Eyes that can judge a heart. burning eyes. And then look what it says. And his feet like unto fine brass. Not only was it look like fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, it looked like his feet were glowing. They were glowing. And I tell you, they were as burnished by brass, beautiful, glorious brass, as burned in a furnace. They were glowing. And that was what he used to tramp down his enemies with. Trample down the enemies with. And oh my, and then look what he said. And that voice, he looked around to see that voice that spake to him. And instead of hearing a voice, he saw a person. He saw this glorious Son of God. This glorious, wondrous, glorious Christ. And then he says this. And his voice was as the sound of many waters. Oh my. You ever been to, any of y'all ever been to Niagara Falls? Man, I tell you what, that water running over them falls just roars, roars, roars. You get on the ocean, them big old waves come crashing in and making noise and crashing in. He said that's the way Christ's voice was. It's like this water just running and, oh, just running and making, just sound like the voice of water just rushing, 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 rushing. And then I looked, and this voice, I saw what he had. He had something in his right hand. What did he have in his right hand? He had seven stars. Seven, everything seven. He had seven stars. Oh my, had seven golden candlesticks. Seven stars in his right hand. He's in the midst of those golden candlesticks. And oh, listen to that. And then this voice that he spoke not only did sound like many waters, but out of his mouth, out of that same mouth, that voice has the sound of many waters. This just shows you how glorious Christ is. His voice is like a sound of many waters, sound as a trumpet, and then the sound, a sharp sword going out of his mouth. That's three things coming out of the mouth of Christ here at this one vision here that he had. Can you imagine? That just goes to show you how glorious Christ is. He can sound as a trumpet, sound as water, and then, beloved, he can sound as a sharp two-edged sword coming out of his mouth at the same time. And you know what a sharp two-edged sword is always referred to? Is the Word of God. Sharper than any two-edged sword. And he had these seven stars and had that great sword coming out of his mouth. And this is a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy One of our Savior. He's coming. He sent this letter to these seven churches. And he's showing us here he's coming to instruct. He's coming to rebuke. He's coming to deal and bless his church, his elect, and to punish everyone who persecuted his people on this earth. Every single one. They're going to be. They said, oh, my elect cry unto me day and night. Shall I not avenge them? Shall I not avenge them? Now look what happens to John when he saw this. Oh my. Brad read in the study tonight out of Ecclesiastes. He said, when thou goest into the house of God, be not rash with thy mouth. Don't go and offer the sacrifice for fools, for God is in the heavens. Let your words be few, for God's in the heavens and you're on the earth. And I tell you what, this is why we reverence Christ. That's why we sit and listen to what God's got to say. And he said, and when I saw him, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. You, none of us can look at the sun when it's shining in his strength. Got to put your hand over your eyes. Got to put your hand over your eyes. And when I saw him, I saw him. I heard the voice, I turned to see. And when I saw him, he said, he's talking about a voice now, he said, I see him. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. I was overwhelmed with it. It's like Isaiah was. You know, and the same thing happened to Daniel. Daniel had a vision, and he fell down as a dead man. All the strength was gone out of him. John saw him and he said, I just fell as a dead man. I had no life in me. Had no ability in me. I couldn't stand in his presence. He's too holy. He's too glorious. He's too majestic. He's too blessed. He's so high and I'm so low. And he fell at his feet as dead. Oh my. But look what our Lord does for him. Oh, he does this for Daniel too. And you know what he said to Daniel? Oh, beloved of God. That's what he said to Daniel. Fear not. You're greatly, greatly loved. And he laid his hand on Daniel. And Daniel sat upright. And look what Christ did here. And he laid his right hand on me. Now, remember, he's got 7 stars in that right hand. Our Lord could have 7 stars, have 3 different voices, and still lay his right hand on you. And he laid his right hand upon him, and saying unto me, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I'm the first and I'm the last. And look what he said. You know, Abraham, when God appeared to him and it was dark, Abraham fell on his face and worshipped him. Moses fell on his face before God. Job fell on his face. But God gave this vision to John, and this is to comfort John. He laid his right hand, it's what John said, he laid his right hand upon me. And then he told me something. Don't you be afraid. Fear not. And you know what our Lord told us? He said, fear not, little flock. Huh? Fear not, little flock. I've got you a kingdom from the foundation of the world. And look what our Lord told him. He said, I am he that liveth and was dead. I was dead. I was put to death. I suffered death. I endured death. And I was obedient unto death. But I'm alive. I'm alive. I live. I'm alive. What blessed words. What blessed truth. Christ is alive. Yeah. We sang that song, I know Christ is alive, for he lives in me, lives in my heart. Our Lord said, because I live, you shall live also. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, shall we also appear with him in glory. It's Christ in you that's the hope of glory. And oh, now we as living souls right now are joined to Him by the Holy Spirit of God. He is our life. I live, and because He lives, we live. And look what He said here now. And here He is again using that word, I am. And He said, behold, I'm alive forevermore. Oh, I died, yeah, but I live. And I'm alive forevermore. And he said, listen, I've got 2 keys. I've got 2 keys. You see these people carrying all, a big old pack full of keys, and they try to figure out which one goes where. Our Lord just got 2. And what are they? Keys of hell and the keys of death. And hell's locked against when we can't go in. He's like David. He has the keys of David. He can open, and when he opens, nobody can shut. When he shuts, nobody can open. And I know 2 places that he's locked against us. He's locked hell, and we're not going there. And he's locked death, and we've already conquered death because he did. Ain't that right? Oh my. He has the keys of hell and of death. He has the keys of authority and power over hell and death. And you know what Paul said? He said, for me to live is Christ. And you know what dying is? To me it's gain. gain. Died's gain? You better believe it. Yeah, it's gain. Oh, oh my. That's why we rejoice. Oh my goodness. Peter told him, said, be it known unto you, men and brethren, that God said, I'll not leave thy soul in hell and never let your flesh suffer corruption. And he said, and I'm not talking about David. He said, we got David in his grave right here with us. We're talking about the son of David. You crucified him and God raised him from the dead. And right now he's at the right hand of God. And everything that he does it for his glory. I tell you what. And so I tell you, the keys of hell and death. And when we get over in the back of Revelation, death and hell give up the dead that are in them. God's going to bring people that's in death, that's already in second death. Death's already on them. Man, hell, death's on them. He's going to bring them out of hell and of death to judge them. And then he's going to open it and he's going to put them back down in there. He's going to turn that lock and they ain't getting out. You see that? You know what the saints say then? Hallelujah. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. That's what they say. When he does that, puts death and hell back in the pit, that bottomless pit. All every saint of God raises up and say, hallelujah, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. You think they're not getting what's coming to them? I know it sounds cruel, and I don't want to sound cruel. But you live without God, you're going to die without Him. You live without Christ, you're going to die without Christ. And I know, but can you imagine what it's going to be like for somebody who stands up in their self-righteousness and try to face God in their own righteousness, in their own works, in their own merit, in their own accomplishments, and stand there in His presence and argue with Him? Tell me why in the world shouldn't, when Christ died, when Christ put away sin, when Christ satisfied God, when they said, justice said, I will not let him go. But mercy said, let that sinner go free, for a substitute was found for me. I know that if God had not saved me by His grace, He had every right to put me in hell, and justly so. But I'm so thankful that He hasn't, and that He won't. And now He can't, because He honored God and glorified God and done for us what we could not possibly do for ourselves. Now God cannot ever punish us. Why? Because He's done punished His Son. Yeah. Unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. And then look what He told John to do. He said there in verse 19, He said, write the things that you've seen now, John. Write it all down. And the things which are, you write the things that are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Oh, the things that are right now in my time, I want you to write it. I want you to write down the condition of seven churches and the things that shall be hereafter, events that's going to happen in the future. And then Christ tells him what this seven golden candlesticks and these seven stars mean. He tells him. He said, John, here's the mystery of those seven stars which you saw in my right hand. Here's the mystery. You saw seven stars in my right hand. I'm going to tell you what they mean. And I'm going to tell you what those seven golden candlesticks are. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks which you saw are the seven churches. And what he's telling us is that when he talks about the churches, when they're the angels, they're the messengers, they're the pastors, they're the preachers, they're the leaders. And he has them in the right hand. He's the one that has all the authority and the power to raise them up. And those seven golden candlesticks are these seven churches. And our Lord told us in Matthew chapter 5, He said, if a man lights a candle, he don't put a bushel over it. He sets it up so everybody see the light. And he said, this is what you are. You're the light of the world. And Christ makes His church to be the light. We don't think we're shining any light, but we're a candlestick. And every one of His churches is a candlestick. And they belong to Christ. His church belongs to Christ. And the preachers belong to Christ. Because they're all in His hands. And He walks in the midst of those seven gold, that church. He walks in the midst of them. Well, man, I'd like to keep on going, but sometimes I've said all I need to say, I think, don't you? Oh my goodness, what I wish that I really would love to be able to describe Him the way my heart sees Him and the way my heart feels about Him. Wouldn't you? The way you see Him in your heart, the way He stirs in your heart, the way He is to you. Wouldn't you love to be able to describe Him, what He is to you, as you see Him in yourself?
Amen.
Oh boy. One of these days we'll see Him as He is. We won't have to describe Him. We'll just bow down and worship. Oh, our blessed, blessed Father. Oh, thank You for this day. Thank You for Your people. Thank You for Your gospel. Thank You for Your word. Thank You for the men that You use in this place. Thank You for our dear sisters who pray for us, love us. Thank You for Your precious word that reveals so much to us, more than our poor little old feeble brains can handle, more than our flesh can contain. But oh Lord, we just love it. We love Your truth. We love Your word. We love how it describes You. And You're a living master to us. You're alive to us. You're a reality to us. You live in us. You're our hope. You're our comfort. You're our assurance. You're our very life. And we own that now. Your word and the testimony. Oh God, we love Your word. We love Your Savior, Your Lord, our Savior, our Master. And oh God, thank You for loving us and causing us to love You. God bless these dear saints as they go their ways. Protect them and keep them and preserve them. Bless Brother Jim, Fawcett and Debbie. And those folks in Indiana, Cindy and the Dishmans there, God help them. Lord, be merciful to them. The family, God help them. Comfort them, be their strength in this very dark, dark hour. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.